Let the Holy Ghost take over. That's 18. So we are preparing ourselves towards believers meeting. Hallelujah. 18 personally for me where clarity is always there. It's the meeting where various house churches be starting from at all. So if you know how to listen to God, you will cherish where believers are gathered. Because sometimes you feel numb and you feel uninterested till the believers listen. And so you must know how to receive. You must know how to comport yourself. Matthew 28. And I want you to be on the cutting edge this morning. Is that it? Let's stay at the edge. Verse 18. Jesus came and spoke unto them, saying, I'm not there, my friend. All this is given to me in heaven and in the earth. All power, there is the word authority. And Jesus said, it's given to me in heaven and in the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Now, what are you going to teach all nations? Verse 9 says, go ye therefore, that is, because all authority has been given to me on this. Some versions say, so, go and teach all nations. That means, listen very well to what I'm about to say. Regardless of the nation, the tribe, and the tongue, the gospel remains the same. Regardless of where you came from, you say, me, I'm from Akwa Ibom. Me, I'm from, Ondo, Okutukupa. Me, I am from, Paris. Wherever you came from, what the message and the content of the gospel does not change. Any gospel that changes with nations and where you come from is not true. Any gospel that changes from the rich and the poor, that means when I'm talking to the rich, I say something and I'm so relaxed, I'm so persuasive. And when I'm talking to the poor, I'm so mean and I'm so authoritative. That's not the gospel. The gospel is the same in all nations. Say all nations. So it says, go and teach all nations. And me, I am from Ijebu. In Ijebu, we are stingy. I'm not saying that's true. That's not true. I've got two friends who are from there, and they are not stingy. Here. Yeah. Have I vindicated you guys? Alright. They're not stingy. Don't say, Egitri, you have Agidi. You have Agidi. You have... Just kidding. What your poor people, what they have done? They like money. It will be okay. You know, there's a way we just tribalize it and then say, oh, these people know, in the new creation, the content of the gospel is intact. It's the same. So, he says, you go and teach all nations. What are you going to teach them? What is said in verse 18? That all authority or all power is given where? In where? In heaven and the earth. So, the heaven and the earth becomes our message. Regardless of the nation you're coming from, the heaven and the earth becomes the message. All power is given to be in heaven and earth. You will now, because of this, teach all nations. You get what I just said now? You get what I just said now? The gospel has no respect for your traffic. In the new birth, we are now God's creation. A new creation, a new people, a new tribe. So, you don't say, me, that's the way I am. The way I am, I don't do this, I don't know. When you come into Christ, the way you are changes. You are no longer from Lesotho. You are no longer from Akure. You are now a new creation. Hallelujah. Then it says, what are you going to do to the new creation? You teach them. Teaching them heaven and earth. Because all authority is given to me in heaven and earth. So, on the grounds of this authority, in heaven and earth, you are going to teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Then verse 20, can we verse 20 together, everybody? I can't hear you. Want to go? Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you. Now, let me just give a brief introduction. That the way the synoptics, when I say synoptics, I'm talking about Matthew, Mark, Luke, Or let me say the four gospels generally. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, the way they were written, I'm doing Bible study for you now. The way they were written is in shorthand. How many of you did shorthand? I did shorthand in GS2 or something. Yeah. In shorthand, you know, you want to write something of about four lines, and then you compress it to like three words. Yeah? I just do one. I kill this. You know? Because I don't understand what you're trying to make me do. And that's the way the four gospels are written. If you are going to write everything Jesus did and taught, you will be believing that I must go to church. And I come to church, you know? Say, what's inside? Bible. See, you are going to church. Everybody will know when you are going to church. You see, this Bible that you have, you're already putting inside phone. You are putting inside iPad. I don't think that's a good practice. You don't think so? Because before you know, you have opened Instagram. In Leviticus, they ask you to open. It's something else you are opening. You know? But if they wrote down everything Jesus said, the way he said it, his explanations, the way he explained it. You know Luke 24. Luke 24, what he did was he expanded the beginning of Moses. By the time beginning of Moses, that's five books already. That means he explained five books. Then he said all the prophets. Let's just say he took half of them. Eh? And then he explained all the scriptures. You know that's work. So imagine they wrote it down. And he didn't just write it as verse 27. So, what he did in expanding all the scriptures, he wrote it as just verse 27, beginning at Moses. So, you must realize that it's written in a shorthand pattern, where the writer is the one that determines what he puts. So, Jesus rose from the dead, taught them for 40 days, and Matthew now comes and says, what he said is all power is given to me in heaven and earth. You get what I'm just saying? Eh? So, he put the 40 days teaching in his own words. Let me get what I just said. Thank you. So, he taught them for 40 days, like Acts 1, help us to understand, Acts 1, verse 1 to 3, that he didn't sing of them 40 days, he expanded to them the things around the kingdom of God. Fine. So, again, Jesus taught them for 40 days, Matthew put it as, what Jesus said, everything Jesus said is, all authority is given to me in heaven and the earth. You will now go and teach this. Teaching them to observe, which is very important for us, but I'm not there yet. So, in Christ's resurrection, there is the heaven and the earth. There is the heaven and the earth. So, the teaching of verse 19 will be heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. You know, and that was what John kept saying. In Matthew 3, there's one story. You know, in Matthew 3, John the Baptist, which I believe he doesn't like being called that, but it's okay. He said, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Right? Repent. That was the message of John. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. Matthew 3, 1 to 3. Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. What did he call the kingdom of God? Or who did he call the kingdom of God? Eh? The kingdom of Christ. The reign of Christ. That is, Jesus was about to establish his ministry, then John calls that the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God is near. The kingdom of God is near. So, the kingdom of heaven is in Christ. The kingdom of heaven is in Christ. In the Lord's Prayer, you observe Jesus said, your will be done on earth as it is when will his will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Eh? In his resurrection. In his resurrection, we will now find heaven's will on earth. What is heaven's will? Men forgiving of their sins. What is heaven's will? Men standing in authority in Christ. What is heaven's will? A new creation. A new creation. A people of God, children of God, that is heaven's will. So, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, let that be done on earth, as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven. So, again, the kingdom of God is in Christ. In his sacrifice, in his resurrection, we find the kingdom of God. I'm learning something this morning. So, we find the kingdom of God in Christ. Say it with me, the kingdom of God is in Christ. So, that's the message. The message will now be, your kingdom has come. So when he rose from the dead, now says, all power or all authority, which the Jews or the Romans will understand, because they are people of power. So he says, all power is given to me in heaven and the earth. Now you understand why they want to ask that question in Acts 1. By the way, we now restore the kingdom. I don't understand now. These were just these. So I brought Luke's summary with Matthew's summary. In Matthew said what he thought was power and authority. And why in Acts, they will now say, so when are you now going to restore the kingdom again to Israel? Since you have all authority. So, authority in heaven and the earth is in view. Sorry if you don't understand what I'm saying. You have not been reading your Bible and not been listening to teachings. You should understand. We are on a very ground level. Heaven and the earth is in Christ. We have called that over and over again. Spiritual growth, that of prophets, best of both worlds. I think we have quite a lot of teachings on that. So we said heaven is where the kingdom of heaven and the earth is where? In Christ. Thank you. So look at verse 20. So you teach them to observe all things. Sorry, what is the all things that they will observe? The ceremonies? Circumcision? What's all things? I told you that when you see all things, you must put it in context. All these things. So, again, there's nothing in the Bible that says all. All things are yours. That's not true. You know that, right? All things are not yours. If all things are yours, when you see a G-Wagon on the street, you know what you should do? Give me the key. You know? Or you see someone's beautiful mansion. If truly all things are yours now, you walk up to the owner and say, I just said the owner. Walk up to the owner and say, Messiah, Masinda, Masinda. God says all things are mine. Hand me over the keys. The only key they will give is the key to the toilet in prison. Hallelujah. All things are not yours. So you must put all, in context. All these things. That makes sense? I can do all things. No, you can't. That's the truth. If you say, I can do all things through Christ that blessed me, can I kill through Christ that blessed me? Oh, I steal. Someone steals and say, I did it through Christ that strengthened me. So why do you steal this thing? Why do you steal the goat? Through Christ. Say through Christ. He strengthens me. Something has to strengthen you again. Again, I can do all these things. What was Paul talking about in Philippians 4? I can suffer and I can have much. I know how to abound, I know how to abase. When things are plenty, I can survive. When things are not much, I don't compromise the will of God. I can do all these things. That makes sense? Through Christ. So, when you say the word all things, you must always find out what is he talking about. Does it make any sense? You must always find out what is he talking about. There is nothing in the entire Bible that generalizes everybody. All our faiths are all these ones. Those who have believed. Does that make sense? That makes sense? Does that make sense? Yeah. All of creation also groans. Which creation? Both. So it's talking about human because animals are so creation. I'm not saying you know that what all is always in context of a particular character or set of characters. So when it says all things, teaching them to observe all things, all these things, what is the subject in view? What is the thing he commanded them? What is the teaching that Matthew summarized? All power in heaven and earth. That makes sense? So, what are they going to teach them to observe? That all power is given to Christ in heaven and earth. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? So, you observe heaven and earth. Teaching them to observe. Now, that word observe is very, very important for us this morning. Teaching them to observe is the word tereo in the Greek. T-E-R-E-O. Now I want you to listen. I want to tell you something. Tereo, T-E-R-E-O. It means to put your mind to it. To watch. Have you ever watched something for someone before? Imagine else. One guy paid me to watch his wardrobe. He went for, meet and break. How many went for the house? So when you go for meet and break, some people stay back in their store. I was part of school that stayed back that year. My parents were not around, so I just stayed back. And so one guy, he paid me to watch over his wardrobe. Because when they go like that,
is the feast of glory. I drink. I didn't need to pass the cup. Everybody has cup.
You just break people's wardrobe. Bam! To see glory.
And what the funny thing is, I always choose wardrobe to break. Say, me, I'm taking this one. Imagine, you are going to be your own parent. Who says this? Say, this one is my own now. Ah, this wardrobe is mine. I was the one that chose this first. So, it depends on your luck. The guy told me that I should please, I should not allow anybody to do his own wardrobe. You know that I'm going to choose his own wardrobe. He said, I don't allow anybody to break his own, you don't trust me. So, what he did was that he paid me to watch, to keep an eye on it. Does that make sense? I did, because it was my own now. You get the point. I took a lot of coffee, stabbing the skins. I won't pack for the rest of the time. I won't pack for the rest of the time that, when you even come. But one night, another guy was trying to outsmart me. So, he was throwing towards my own and Queen's wardrobe. Okay, fine. So, as he was throwing towards the wardrobe, I caught him. I said, stop there! After 2 a.m, I guess. He said, can you see me? You get back to me, I got your teeth. He said, you call me for. I saw you taking some girl. How many teeth? He take me to him. But what happened there was, I kept my eyes on him. Hallelujah. So, Jesus says, you watch. What are you going to watch? Heaven and earth. You keep your eyes on it. You keep your mind to it. But, the narrative now goes beyond passively just watching. Let's look at the words used in the book of Matthew. In Matthew 19, we're looking at the heaven and the earth. We're looking at that word, terio, have you? To observe. So we want to look at the observation. How is it done? Because this is what he says all believers will be doing, regardless of their nation, right? To watch. To watch heaven and earth. Fine. So Matthew 19 verse 17. And he said unto them, why are you calling me good? There's none that is good but one there's none good but one. That is God. But if you will enter into life, what will you do? Keep the commandment. The word keep there is the word that you observe. Keep the commandment. Now when you say keep the commandment, is it talking about what you watch or what you do? Huh? What you, is it, when I say keep the commandment, is that I will write the commandment and I'll be looking at this. Don't touch it. Huh? What I'm saying is that you do the commandment. Does that make sense? It's the word that you. Now you see how language has helped us a bit to clarify the word observe. Now, let's go on. So we're looking at the word in Matthew 23. In the same book. Matthew 23 verse 3. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe. And observe and, that observe and do. Whatever they bid you to observe, observe and do. But do not ye after their works. For they say and do not. The word observe. All that they bid you to observe. Observe and do. Is it saying you look it or you do it? Whatever they say, you do it. Abi? 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 Terrible. Also, it's also used for normal watching. Matthew 27, so that we don't get that out of the way. Matthew 27 verse 36. And sitting down, they watched him there. That is, they put their eyes on him. So, it's used for both what you focus on and what you do. So, it's used for both focus and what is done. You find it in Matthew 27:54 and Matthew 28:4. Matthew 28:4 says, and for the fear of the keepers, they shake as dead men. Now, let me test you. If I want to get another reference, another book, which other book do you think I should go to? I want to look at the word terrible. Observe. But now I'm looking at it from the angle that Matthew wrote it. Right? And we have looked at it through the book of Matthew. Which other writer do you think I will look at this book that will be very similar to Matthew's audience? I've given you the clue. Audience. James. Hallelujah. Because they both have very strong Jewish audience. James. Hallelujah. Because both of them,
Matthew wrote to Jews, purely. James also wrote to Jews. Is it making sense? And so, they would have similar diction, their communication, because the audience is the same. Unlike Paul who wrote to Gentiles. So that means, both James and Matthew probably would have written the same language. They would probably be using the same vocabulary, the same figure of speech, since their audience is the same. And I told you, was it last Sunday or last Thursday, that context, sometimes, the reason why we interpret is because the audience has changed. Remember that. So when the audience remains the same, oftentimes the context remains the same. So let's look at the word observe in James. The word terio. James 1. James 1, 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. What is it? Can we together want to go? To what? To visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction. And to what? To keep himself unspotted from the world. So when he said the word keep, there's the word terio. So, how do I keep myself unspotted? Is it in what I do or in what I watch? Eh? What I do. James 2. James 2. Verse 10. For whosoever shall keep the whole law, and yet offend in one point, is guilty of all. So when I say I keep the whole law, is it I watch the law or I do the law? Eh? That's why I say, but you offend in one. That means it's what is doing, what is done, right? So, the word terio again, we are saying that it's a mix of what is sin and what is doing. Don't forget where we're coming from. Jesus said, you must do that for what? For Satan. Heaven and earth. Someone was about to say, you must observe heaven and earth. And we are saying that observation is in what is seen and focused on, and what is done. Don't lose that one. Don't lose it. Can we look at other writers? Maybe. If you are going to look at another book, if you are going to step to another book, which other book do you think you step to? Let's look at the book of Acts. Because in Acts, you also have strong Jewish audience, especially the Pharisees. Especially the Pharisees. And the Sadducees. That's what he said. They are far to see and they are sad to see. Alright, Pharisees and Sadducees. I'll just pick some. In Acts 12, verse 5, you find in Acts 12, 5, Acts 12, 6. In Acts 12, 5, he said, Peter was kept in prison. Kept is the word terrible, actually. He was being watched in prison. Verse 6 says, and when Herod would have been brought out, the same night when Peter was given, between two soldiers, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. The keepers. But look at Acts 15 verse 5. I studied it in my notes. Acts 15 verse 5. But there rose up a certain sect of the Pharisees which believed, saying it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to what? To keep the law of Moses. How do you keep the law? By doing it. Thank you. So again, when you look at the word terio, is again, it's always a mix. I'm watching and I'm doing. I'm watching and I'm doing. I'm watching and I'm doing. Let me show you all other examples where it is used for doing. For what is done. In the same Acts 15, verse 24. For as much as you have heard, a certain went out from among us according with the words of God in the souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law. Then when you see keeping of the law, that's in what is being done. Acts 21 verse 25. Don't forget, I'm just sampling the ones now. Right now I'm sampling the ones that have to do with doing. Because I know that observing already tells you that you have to watch. It tells you that you have to put your mind to it. You have to focus. But I want to now focus on the one that has to do with doing. I don't think that's more pronounced. Acts 21 verse 25. As touching the Gentiles, which we believe, we have written and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves out of the fear of idols, from blood and from strangled and from fornication. That they observe no such thing. By saying observe no such thing, is that they would not watch it or they will not do it. They will not do it. I say I'm observing holiday or I'm observing public holiday. What am I doing? I'm acting on the fact that there's a public holiday. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? And I'll go back to Matthew 28. So, the real is used for what you keenly watch, you watch it keenly, and what you do. What you watch, and what you do. As Peter says in verse 20, teaching them to now do this for heaven and earth. So, in the new creation, you tell your heaven and earth. How about that? You observe heaven and earth. You observe, as we go on in this teaching, today, next week, you get clearer. Heaven and earth. And you see that oftentimes, what we call the Christian faith, forgiveness of sin, the gift of the Holy Ghost, salvation is heaven and earth. We look at that much. But so Jesus says, you observe it. Tell someone beside you, observe. What does he say? He doesn't say observe. So, observe heaven and earth. You will be taught it, right? Verse 19. Is that what we teach? Verse 20. Is that what we do? Eh? That's what we do. So, we can do heaven. We can do heaven. The Christian is not earthly at all. Okay. That'll be straight. The Christian life is not all earthly. That's better. I remember teaching something one time ago. I forgot it. The title. It was about heaven and earth and all. And so, we were done with the teaching. And we now met Bangla folk from another church. He said something that made me laugh. He said, as you are looking at me, there's nothing earthly about me. I'm spiritual too. Spirit on you. Spirit on you. Spirit. You know, so, it's going to be extreme. And we're going to be taking away a whole lot by saying, you are not earthly at all. But that's not all there is to you. I remember Adroma saying something. He said, when you look at the Christian, you have seen a man who is wall to wall the Holy Ghost. I think I like that. He said, wall to wall, he is the Holy Ghost. So again, all there is to you is not the flesh. All there is to you is not the earth. Jesus says, in the new creation, you observe heaven and earth. You are not just all earthly. It's a mix of two worlds. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Let me just show you that. Learn something from this one? What are we teaching again? 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 49. We read verse 49 and 50 together. Everybody? Once more. As we have borne the image of the earth, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, you cannot read it, you are wrong. Flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. So, if we have inherited the kingdom of God in the resurrection, then it means we are more than flesh and blood. He says, as we have borne the image of the earth, or the earth, let us also bear the image of the heaven. So, the new creation is in two worlds. You are on the earth, but Ephesians 2 says you are seated in heavenly places. Ephesians 2. Turn there. Ephesians 2. Again, you must not lose sight of the fact that there is heaven within the grasp of the new creation. And you must always observe it. You must look at it. You must do it. You must do heaven and earth. You must observe heaven and earth. You must teach heaven and earth. Ephesians 2:6. Can we read that together, everybody? Hey, everybody, write down verse 4. For God will do your mercy. Wherein we love, where we love us. By your grace, I see. Sit together in where? Heavenly in Christ. So, you are here. But he said you are seated in heavenly in Christ. So, the kingdom of heaven is in Christ. Then, the believer's world is heaven and earth. You observe it. You put your eyes on it. Both to know and to do. Both to know. So, right now, what you do in your head, there's heaven and earth. And I have to know and do it. Abi, observe. Abi. To know and to do. So, can we do heaven? Yes. I mean, to do stuff beyond the earth, you can.
You can. You can. The resurrection of Christ makes the impossible possible. Thank you, Jesus. So, let's quickly go through what we have said. What is taught in the new creation? Huh? The heaven and the earth. Is that what is taught? Huh? What is done? Heaven and the earth. Alright, so, what is taught? What is done? Now, let me give you a down. From verse 11. You're gonna go. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Don't forget, we said the new creation would have his feet in two worlds. And he can have the best of the two worlds. He has the gifts of heaven. Christ, the Spirit of God, right? The gifts of heaven. But yet, he is on the earth. He is on the earth. You are on the earth. You are right now at the last I saw. Right? And you have the Spirit in you. Can you see the two worlds? Can you see the two worlds? Number 11. In verse 11, let me give you the background. The background is, Moses is leading the entire Israel. History has it that they were about 2 to 4 million at that time. And only Moses is the one settling all the fights. Can you imagine? Now, if you fight of righteous people, it will be better. But fight of rebellious, stiff-necked, deep people. So someone will come to Moses and say, I don't like that. See this wilderness, I will change it for everybody. Moses said, calm down, I understand. I'm just going to Eliezer. He's tired of manna, he's stealing my goat. He's my goat, I hear just say, manna. He needs manna. Are we tired of manna now? And Moses said, calm down. Where's the Eliezer? Yeah, he's playing football. He's playing Champions League. Okay. I'll call him. Sorry, which family is he from? Which district? Are you getting the point? So, Moses was the only one doing all of that. Then he went to God. He said, God, I'm not the one that gave them to these people. In literal words, that's what he said. If you want to kill me, kill me. What kind of punishment is this? I will now settle fight from prayer chain to prayer alley. What kind of setting up by God? Then God said, call 70 people. And I taught you that before. When I was reading the ministry, this, I mean, 70. Very important. It's media, look up. Alright. So 70 people said, I will put your spirit on them. Well, actually, it's God's spirit on them. Right? Right? So go, Numbers 11 now. So, God is going to choose 70 people who are going to assist Moses. They are going to judge like Moses. That will involve doctrine a lot. They're going to speak like Moses. Fine. Numbers 11. Verse 24 now. And Moses went out and the people, and told the people the words of the Lord, and gathered 70 men of the elders of the people, and set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spoke unto them, and took the spirit that was upon him, and gave it to the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not stop. But there remained two of the men in the camp, named Eldad, and the other name was Medad. And the spirit rested upon them, and they were risen, but they went not out of the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. That is, these ones were not part of the 70. So, there were now two people outside the camp, in the overflow. They started prophesying too. They were not in the camp, they were not part of the 70, but they were prophesying. So Joshua, now, verse 27, and there ran a young man and told Moses, and said, Eldad and Medad, they are also prophesying in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the son of Moses, one of the yoke Israel, answered and said, my Lord, Moses, forbid them. That is, stop them from prophesying, they are not part of the 70. They are only verse 29 together. Moses said unto him, are you envying for my sake? And would God that all the people were what? Prophets. And the Lord will put his spirit upon them. So, Moses said, stop that. Let to God, everyone here will be a prophet. Not prophet that would teach. That is, everyone here will prophesy. Because what those folks were doing in the camp was that they were prophesying.
Moses now said, he told Joshua, he said, God's will is that everybody prophesies. Not 70. And that God put spirit on them. What is God's will again? Eh? That everyone prophesies, and God's will will rest upon them. Fine. Fine. Joel eventually echoes this. In Joel chapter 2. Joel 2. You there now? Alright, can we read verse 28 together? And 29. It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. And your young men stop there. I don't know. What will be other people bastardize this place? Oh, the old men will dream. That the old and young cannot manifest the same spiritual things. The old men will be dreaming, young men will be seeing vision. And I wonder which of the bolts in your head is loose. Because Moses was an old man. Peter was old and his own visions. But that's fine. Not fine. They said, old man, I'm not going that. This one is the boss. He said, she said, I don't know, I forgot him, but I know. If one of the false prophets at that moment said that old men would dream. That even at their old age, they can still see something. They can still see a brighter future. They can still dream. I don't know where we get all this motivational speech from, but you don't need it. Amen? Well, old men will dream. That is, how young are you? Don't lose your dream. Don't lose your ambition. Don't lose your focus. Old men can dream in the new vision. No. Actually, the word dream and the word vision there is the same thing. Don't treat it that. It's just a play of words. It's the same as saying old men will see visions and young men will see visions. As quite. Sometimes because you read in English, you have doctrine of devils. Why not understand what the writer wanted to communicate? Job was one that used the word vision most in the Old Testament. Because the word vision is the word Chizion. C-H-I looks like an Igbo name. C-H-I-Z-Z-A-Y-O-N. C-H-I-Z-Z-A-Y-O-N. Chizion. It means a revelation, especially by a dream. That's the word vision in the whole system, in the Hebrew form. Let's look at the way it was used. Job 4. Just put a marker in Joel. In Job chapter 4. So that you don't start sounding ready. Sounding revelation. Both men will dream dreams. Their own is dreams. You see, young men, they see vision. No. It's the same thing. In Job chapter 4. Let's start with use the word Chizion. What vision? Job 4:13. Can we together what? Fear came upon me. So, where am I? Okay. In thoughts from the visions of the night. Sorry, which vision is when these people fall upon you? What kind of vision is that one? Your dream. He calls dream vision of the night. Where deep sleep falls upon you. That makes sense? That makes sense? See, we're using vision. It's a dream, actually. In Job 7, verse 14, yes. Yes. Thou scares me with dreams and terrifies me through visions. Same thing. It's just been exploratory. Exploratory, but as well. Terrify me through dreams, you scare me through visions. That is, all I see, I'm scared. Job 20. So it's actually the same word. Or the same intent, the same root. Job 20 verse 8. He shall fly away as a dream, and shall not be found. He shall be chased away as a vision of the night. That is, the way you forget dreams, calls it the vision of the night. Shall be chased away as a vision of the night. Job 33. Verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when this sleep falls upon me, in slumberings upon the dead. That's when you're having dreams. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. So, go back to Joel 2. So, actually, both dreams and vision from the same root. Same root word. So, he says, go back to Joel. It shall come to pass afterward. I will pour I have my spirit upon all flesh. Say all flesh. Are you part of that? Part of all flesh? I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams and your young men will see visions. This morning I'm open to visions. I'm open to visions. I'm open to revelations. I'm open to visions. I'm open to revelations. I'm open to visions. I'm open to revelations. Your old men will dream. Your young men will see visions. I'm open to the supernatural. So, prophecy and visions. It says it will come to pass. Sorry, when will it come to pass? Eh? When is the climax? When will it come to pass? In the resurrection. When Jesus will rise from the dead, people will do heaven. They will do heaven. They will have revelations. They will have visions. All flesh. All flesh. All flesh. In the day of Christ, man will do heaven. They will observe heaven. When you see it, you will know it. Because you see the hand of God in it. Hallelujah. 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 Look, naturally, most of these men, the 70, naturally, they should just be murmuring too now. They should just be complaining too. Right? I mean, what's the entire camp doing? Murmuring. This manna that we have been eating. Manna 17. Manna. I want this out. Manna, this Moses, God call him like this. God call someone. God call someone. Me, I know. From my experience, I know. God call someone. God has varieties. He says there are different gifts for the same spirit. How can he give us manna, no fried rice? God can even say, akamu. Manna. This Moses, God not call him. God knows if he has one open that is good baking the manna. So, they were murmuring and they were complaining. But you see, when the Spirit came on the 70, rather than murmur, they prophesied. You will see heaven. You will know it. You know that this is beyond the head. So in the place of complaining, they started prophesying. They started prophesying and they did not cease. They did not cease. So the Spirit is the real deal. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. First Samuel. I'm getting somewhere. We are looking at let the Holy Ghost settle. First Samuel 19. Now, the background is David killed Goliath. And you know, there's a way people will hype you and wipe with your own destruction. And so the women of the town started singing, Saul has killed 1,000 and David has killed 10,000. David killed only Goliath. But you see, some people will wind you to your own destruction. He has killed 10,000. Imagine David doing nothing like this. He's 10,000. Thank you. Yesterday, 10,000. No. So Saul heard that and said, really? I've been fighting all these days. Only God, I don't know where to go. How can you say David killed 10,000? I'm the one that killed 10,000. David killed one. And so Saul was full of offense, envy, jealousy, and he sought to kill David. So he was doing what David was all about. And David was doing Tom and Jerry. He was running about. So David went to hide with Samuel at Ramah. Verse 18. He then asked Samuel 19, 18. So David fled and escaped and came to Samuel to Ramah and told him all that Saul had done to him. And he and Samuel went down to Nile. It was told Saul saying, behold, David is at Nile in Ramah. And Saul sent messengers to take David. When they saw the company of the prophet prophesying and Samuel standing as appointed over them, can we read from there? The Spirit of God was upon the messengers of Saul. And he was? And it was told, when he was told Saul, he sent another message, other messengers. And he was? And Saul sent messengers the third time. And he was? Then he himself went to Ramah. And he came in gates well. He's not spirit proof. Hallelujah. When the Spirit of God gets moving, you can stop it. In a second. And he asked and said, where is Samuel and David? And one said, behold, they are at Nioth in Ramah. Verse 23. And he went there to Nioth in Ramah, and the Spirit of God was upon him also. And he went on and prophesied until he came to Nioth in Ramah. And so he goes and prophesied before Samuel in like manner and lay down naked all day and all night
Wherefore they said, is Saul also among prophets?
Hallelujah.
The Spirit of God rested upon him and he prophesied. So, when you see the Spirit of God, you will see the activities of heaven. Saul, he went there to kill. Imagine you went somewhere to kill. And you started prophesying. I recall, some years ago, a particular minister, I can't remember the person, but a particular music minister, gospel music minister, a woman, thieves went to her house. I don't know if you have heard the story. Thieves went to her house to rob her, gunpoint, and she said, am I the one you came to go with? She said, serious story. People were up, and then she cooked them a meal, she served them tea. She said, let's pray together. Thieves, gone. So they dropped their guns, his head sipping tea, and they were praying, and they were speaking in tongues, and she was calling the police. And they were speaking in tongues, and she was calling the police. They go shout out to them. Thieves, they came to rob. I could speak in tongues. Hallelujah. Oh, she robbed. So, again, when the Spirit of God takes over, faculties are seized upon. Saul went to kill, and he was prophesying. The 70 prophesied. So, you let the Spirit take over. You let the Spirit take over. Don't forget that in the Christian faith, what do? We carry out the supernatural. We observe it. We observe the supernatural. Heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. So, you teach it and you do it. The melody is from the earth. But you see, what you are singing is from heaven. I want to say, thank you Jesus, you gave me your song. And then I sing it in tongues. You know, my melody is not from heaven. That tune is not from heaven. Is it making sense? The tune is not from heaven. But you see, the interpretation of my tongues is supernatural. So, I have heaven and earth in the same place. Yeah, I just said that. So, the melody is from the earth, but the inspiration is from the Spirit of God. It's heaven. So, part of what it means to be Christian is that you have your eyes on the supernatural. How can you be a Christian and all you think about is earthly solutions? How can we do it now? And you start to murmur. What will I now see? What will now happen? Turn to the Spirit. Turn to the Spirit of God. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Hallelujah. 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 I let the Holy Ghost take over. Imagine. Saul went with a different assignment. But prophesy. I let the Holy Ghost take over. My eyes are on the supernatural. Amen. So that's what it means to be Christian. You have your eyes on the supernatural. I know it's a world of unbelief where you are saying, is it real? Are people actually getting healed? Why you? You have been healed before. You not sound like Pilate. Sound like Pilate. I've been healed before. So it's too late for you to tell me that people cannot be healed supernaturally. It's too late. You came about 10 years late. Hallelujah. You came about 10 years. I believed. And I still receive healing. Hallelujah. God's power will always be at work in my body. Effecting healing and cures. In the name of Jesus. I don't care. I don't know how many people have been healed. I don't know how many people are dying of sicknesses. But I trust in God's power. I trust in God's power. It is within His word. I believe and I receive it. If you have been given a word of knowledge before, you will not doubt me. If you yourself have given someone, Lord, I remember when I gave someone a word of knowledge one time. Early days. Really, really early days. How did you know? Hey! I was shocked my head. Wow. I didn't feel like a prophet. I told him the sister's name. I told him where the sister is at present. And what he's doing at that moment when we're talking, and he should call, and what he should see after the call, and the problem, and see, that's what we have been facing. How did you know it? He was someone that traveled, he traveled to deliver something to his cousin, and I just met. So I've not met him before. I don't know him from anywhere. And after saying this, he said, how did you know? It's true. Young and naive, I think I was about 17.
Hey,
okay, okay. So that emboldened me. I said, okay, hey, so. But you must get by that moment so that you don't jump the gun.
Hallelujah. So you can't tell me that there's no word of knowledge. Because I told someone something no one ever told me.
Hallelujah.
And I did that by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
Amen. So, regardless of the fact that we are in a world of unbelief, you stay with the supernatural. Walk in your own. Don't be talking like Pilate. I'm in the new creation. And I have access to heaven and earth. I have the Spirit of God. I can do the supernatural. 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 This morning, I can do the supernatural. Do the supernatural. That's what Jesus said. He said, tell them to observe it. Tell them to observe it. I can do the supernatural. I can do the supernatural. I do the supernatural. I give expression to the Spirit of God. So, the supernatural is natural to me. I find it easy. When I'm doing the supernatural, I'm doing my thing. You know, He's doing his thing. You know, when some folks play Monopoly, like me, they are doing their thing. They are that good. When some folks play the keyboard, like some of them, they are doing their thing. What do you do that is your thing? The supernatural. So, when I do this supernatural, when I heal this tick, I'm doing my thing. I'm walking in my own. I'm relaxed. It's easy for me. If you read church history very well, you know how many people are traveling to Igara Keji for revival. Abu Babalola. White men will come. Portugal. Brazil. United Kingdom, English people, and they are going to Ocean Street. There's no flyout. There's no poster. There's no... What he had was the supernatural. And one of the things the white man said, he said, when they were remembering his life, they were doing that at Gawusa's remembrance, and he said something about Apostle Babalola was that the supernatural was his thing. When he sees the sick, he doesn't see that sick, he just sees that he healed in Jesus' name. It's my thing. Hallelujah. See, you are also a Christian. Eh? There's not only people who have received what has been given. Receive you the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's my thing. It's my thing. Word of knowledge is mine. Tongues is mine. Interpretation is mine. Visions and revelation is mine. Healing is mine. Five mine. The pleasure is mine. Sight and sound by the Spirit of God. It's mine. You walk in your own. Teach them to observe heaven and earth.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. See Saul. He went to fight. But when the Holy Ghost takes over, all the anger that you have to work with, you know where it's challenged you? Prophets.
I thought you went to the servant's God that came to fight you.
Three batches of soldiers. That's what any believer says. 1, 2, 3, if you are king. In the Spirit of God, there's no fire. We walk in love. But for after that time, after the prophet, you see when to kill David. When the Spirit does not take over again. But when the Spirit takes over, we do the heaven. We walk in heaven.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. So we can have supernatural happenings. Our faculties can yield to the Spirit of God. And they will. So when the Holy Ghost takes over, in the place of murmuring, what can you have?
Huh?
I don't use that yet. Some folks go, they go, this life, I don't understand. Things are not working. Things are not getting. And you see, I don't understand the question about my life. Shut up! Let the Holy Ghost take over. See, when the Holy Ghost takes over, you still have joy. Sometimes you catch yourself laughing. And that was for me many times. Most times alone. And I just got myself laughing. Why am I laughing at? So now I'm mocking the devil. I'm staying 10 times ahead. Hallelujah. 10 times ahead of his gimmicks, 10 times ahead of his plans, 10 times ahead of his darts. I'm 10 times ahead. Hallelujah. So sometimes I just laugh. Sometimes I rejoice when I see what God is doing. Hallelujah. I got to work on Tuesday and one of my colleagues I don't know how. And he was telling me, he said, I'm following your seat. I was telling him that I'm following your script online. Serious? Like I told you. And Smith series. I'm not watching any movie. He said, no, I'm listening to Smith. And he was playing it. He was showing me. I said, from where? He said, Pastor, don't worry about that one. He said, I have questions. And you know, in that same hour, I just did, whoa, glory to God. Amen. Patients were watching me and they, I'll be doctor. You know, but I see what God is doing. That makes me rejoice. That puts me on a jump. Hallelujah. 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 My joy is not in fear. Fine. If I have it, I'll be glad if I have it. I can. But you see, my joy is intrinsic. It's intrinsic. It's upon the resurrection. It's in what God is doing. When I see a Muslim say, I jump for joy. Hallelujah. Because I know the devil has lost again. Amen. Amen. He can be planning everything he's planning. But you see, Jesus is Lord. That gives me joy. And so, in place of murmuring, you have joy when the Holy Ghost takes over. In place of sadness, some believers who are sad, they are depressed. What's getting depressed? I don't have joy. Uh-huh. After that, then the Holy Ghost takes over. You can always have joy. You can always have joy. You can always have joy. You can always have it. Paul tells the church in Philippi, who are in need of persecution. I don't mean persecution. It is only joy. He said, rejoice. In case you did not hear it the first time, I'm telling you again, rejoice. Rejoice always. Hallelujah. You put the joy on repeat. You put the joy on repeat. You put it on repeat. Hallelujah. You put the joy on repeat. You put it on repeat. There is something called joy by the Spirit. You observe it. Put your heart to it. You know, sometimes, imagine someone that they are beating. They are beating you for preaching the gospel. And he's rejoicing. I've seen, we saw that in the book of Acts, right? I mean, but I have seen it physically. I remember people village that one time. And the particular brother, they beat him so much. They beat him so much that the sister has been using, water to be, I, you know, as he was doing it, you know what he was doing? He was laughing. And he went, ha 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 ha, you're stupid. And you just, yes, woo! Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's what you want to see. Amen. And you wonder, in the natural, there's nothing to laugh about. What's there to laugh about? You got to be sent to. They will not beat you. See, when you have gone to a wrong church, you have put comfort. You think that when you are in the center of God's will, everything will just be comfortable. That's a lie. Paul was in prison, and that was God's will. Paul and Silas. And he was at the center of God's will. God was going to say, go now to Macedonia. And as he was getting there, the first thing was, welcome. First day, welcome to prison. Welcome to the will of God. Jesus on that cross was in God's will. So sometimes it's not the comfort. They were beaten. He was bruised. And he kept laughing. I don't know. That day I felt a lot of consecration. I told God, I was sad for him. His joy was not in the earth. He was observing everything. And so, we have joy by the Spirit. You think you have joy by the Spirit? Have your faith. So, there is joy of heaven. The one this world cannot touch. You know, if your joy is based on you having money, and the next thing you don't have, that means your joy has been taken away. If your joy is based on you have a car, a very nice car, the next day and the thieves steal it, your joy has been taken. If your job is your joy, and the manager said, we are closing down. We are not firing you. There's no money on ground to pay all the officers. We are closing. If your job is your joy, then they just close down your joy. But you see, if your joy is in heaven, it's unrivaled joy, unmatched joy. Hallelujah. The joy you wake up one morning and you don't know, you don't know why. You just jump and say, it's a great day today. Hallelujah. Souls are going to be won today. Hallelujah. I remember the first day I was going to preach in the bus. I rejoiced a lot before I went. A lot, about 45 minutes or 1 hour of joy. So I was giving a lot of energy. And I entered the bus. The flesh cannot take over. There's nothing to lose. I'm very tired. I just heard it. I come to you in the name of the Lord. And I'm still laughing. You know, what's up? I'm still laughing. When you are kids, and you're also preaching the gospel, you will know why I'm laughing. Hallelujah. We are depopulating the kingdom of darkness. We are depopulating it. And our weapon is also joy. Joy is our weapon. Joy is our weapon. Joy is our weapon. There's joy in heaven. There's nothing like you are frowning and you think by frowning and being sad, you are being mature. Your maturity is smelly. When I was younger too, you know, or then Wingate. When you are younger. So you are older than the king of peace. That was when you are spiritual, okay? You have lost Ichabod. Maybe as enter ocean. Amen. Joy is regardless of your age. Hallelujah. We are talking about heaven now. Heaven. Hallelujah. Praise God. There's joy by the Spirit. There's joy by the Spirit. When the Holy Ghost takes over, your faculty of feeling will be seized upon. Your faculty of feeling. You are just impulsed to laugh. I know. So what was happening now? Control yourself. Hallelujah. I thought it was time I prayed for someone. It was terrifically sick. And I prayed for someone and nothing happened. Nothing happened. Went for the test. Nothing happened. Nothing changed. In fact, it became sicker. There was anything like that. I said, God, what's going on? At least, even if the prayer will not make him sick, will not make him old, should not be getting more sick. I just kept praying. Just kept praying because my mantra is, you lay your hands on the sickness, we recover. You pray the prayer of faith, you heal the sick. Yeah, I don't know more than that. That's right. The moment you start doing extra stuff, I don't have it. And so I just kept praying for him. God, you heal him. And so after about a month, he called on the phone and said, I don't know. He has been on drips and small things. He said, I feel perfectly okay. And then the test said there was nothing again. And then I just dropped the phone and I started laughing. Hallelujah. I just started laughing. I looked like a fool to myself, but I love that foolishness. And I just started laughing. You know, how was I laughing? Nothing. But I see what God is doing. And I know that for him to be healed, there are many more that will be healed, and I also will be healed if this body says he wants the vessel. Amen. Amen. And so I just started laughing. Then that means God. That means there is healing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you see a soul get saved, you know, there should be an impulse of joy. That's what Jesus said. There's joy in heaven over every sinner. Yes. You know that heaven is not beyond the clouds. You are not heaven. There must be joy in your heaven. Because you are the one observing death Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't think it's angels are doing. No, it's you. It's you. Hallelujah. When you see what God is doing, that should bring in joy. Oh, the sick have been healed. Oh, men have been saved. Oh, I'm walking in the supernatural. I just gave you time. That should give you joy. Not everyone in the world can sing by the Spirit. Not everyone in the world can lay their hands on the sick. Not everyone in the world can speak in tongues. Some people, they speak in tongues, they know they're deceiving themselves. But when I speak in tongues, I know I'm talking to the Father. That's some joy for me. That's some joy for me. I look at my life and I know I have eternal life. I know there's no fear in my future. I know I have eternal life. I'm going to live forever. I know my sins are forgiven. There's no guilt, there's no fear, there's no shame yet. That's some joy for us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's look at it from the Old Testament. Exodus. Exodus 18. Ready from this one? Oh. Oh. So, you observe heaven. Hey. You observe heaven. So, verse 5. And Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, came with his sons and his wife unto Moses in the wilderness, where he encamped at the mount of God. And he said unto Moses, I, your father-in-law, have come to you, and your wife and your two sons without. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law, and he paid obeisance, and he kissed them. And they asked each other of their welfare, and they came into the tent. And Moses told his, can we verse 8 and 9 together? And Moses told his father-in-law, all that the Lord has done to Pharaoh, and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, and all the trouble that had come upon them by the way, and now the Lord delivered, verse 9, and Jethro rejoiced for all the goodness which the Lord has done to Israel, whom he has delivered out of the hand of Egypt. And Jethro said, blessed be the Lord, who has delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians. Hallelujah. When you hear what the Lord has done, it should bring joy. It should bring joy. Oh, at Ogumba Wale, I got two people saved. I got two people filled with the Holy Ghost. That should bring joy. Some people's joy is only when they get a laugh and pray. There's nothing more carnal than that. So it's someone that is on the way to hell like this can rejoice because of that one. I don't. Someone that has this a three-bedroom flat in hell can be rejoiced. I don't get that laugh. But you see, when your faculties start reacting towards salvation, you are getting more heavenly. Let me be that way. You are doing ever more. Things that probably will not appeal to the senses. Hallelujah. We pray and we are trusting God. We are trusting God that men will be saved in their numbers. Men will be getting filled. The gospel will flood the last episode. When I see that happen, right in the eyes of my mind, I rejoice. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I see ministers of the gospel in their hundreds and in their thousands. That can only bring one response. Can only bring one response. It can only be joy. Right? Hallelujah. 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 Standing. There's nothing called joy that sits down. See, listen. The same way you pray by faith. Sorry, but I'm not moved to joy. Yeah? Where you are praying. Did you see the Spirit? You pray by faith, knowing that God hears you. The same thing with your job. When Jethro heard, that, see what God has done for this guy. I was like, he rejoiced. Hallelujah. There's no maturity in sitting up. There's no maturity. At best, you just can out. And it means you don't understand what God is doing. At best, what happened is that you are empty. Because when you have the Spirit of God, see, sometimes it's just that impulse. Have you been praying before? And then you just felt, hey. How you pray? I remember one night I was praying, a dude, a dude. I just started running. I was, no one was watching because they would think this guy is going mad. I started running. Glory to God. Why? Because I see the answered prayers. When Jethro heard all the Lord has done, that was his rejoice. Turn to Luke. Luke 10. Jethro rejoiced. Luke 10.
verse 20. Let's look at verse 17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject to us through your name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not, that spirits are subject unto you. Rather rejoice, because what? Your names are written in it. That's one cause for joy. So, for every time you remember salvation, there should be an impulse of joy, except you don't understand it. There should be something like that when you say, glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. So whenever you, what God has promised, whenever you remember it, His word says there will be joy in the morning. His word says there will be joy in the morning. There will be joy in the morning. That's the resurrection. There will be joy in the morning. There will be joy in the... Weeping may endure for the night. Why men are getting perished. Why men are perishing. Why people are getting on the bus to hell. That's nice. When men are rejecting salvation. Fine. When Jesus had not yet died for sins. Nice. Weeping is for the night. For it's true. The dead. There will be joy in the morning. I've taught you, what do we find in the resurrection? We find unmeasured joy. Unmeasured joy. It's limitless. You can't say, I'm going to have three jumps of joy. No! It's called a leap. It's called a leap. Hallelujah. It's called, let me tell you the word. Verse 21 now. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. If you don't rejoice, you can't say you are following Jesus. I don't even know which of the Jesus. Because Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit. Luke 21. That word is what? Agalaio. I know you have been pronouncing it wrong. It's not Agalio. Agaliao. A-G-A-I-A-O. Agaliao. It means much jump for joy. I was saying this much on Thursday. Much jump for joy. Hallelujah. Much jump for joy. Amen. Glory to God. So I'm not feeling like I should jump. What's your comfort now? Hallelujah. See, I told you on top stage, I've seen people who are rejoicing, and while rejoicing they got healed. Not one, not two. Some people are rejoicing, and why we just, I told you my own personal account of a sister who had the cancerous cell. We didn't even know at all. And she was at the back, and then everybody was rejoicing. It was the biggest thing. I went to go somewhere. And then she was not. And so I called her out. You know my tradition. I said, why are you not rejoicing? Try to make an excuse. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Don't give an excuse. I said, now rejoice. And then she wept, rejoicing. And then she fell down. She is gone. And the pastor came and said, I'm going to tell you. She had a long point. It was gone. Hallelujah. So, it's not gymnastics. It's not gymnastics. It's faith. Peter said, you who have not even seen it, you rejoiced. Joy unspeakable, full of glory. He said, your joy is your faith. I'm going to explain that much more closely. Your joy is faith. Sometimes you are praying for something, you've not even seen the answers. But when you have faith of answered prayers, your response ought to be. That is, when this thing eventually happens, this is how I will react. And so you're already reacting like that, and that means it has happened. Amen. Amen. You must have the eyes of the Spirit. In that same hour, Jesus agaliao. He rejoiced. Much leaping, much joy. It's like a burst pipe. Have you seen a burst pipe before? Eh? A pipe that's not, they're not caught in it. How will the water pump out? How, wait. Glory to God!
When Jesus heard what the 70 has done, they came back from our church. He said, hey, that's what happened. In that same hour, he rejoiced. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So when the Holy Ghost takes you, sometimes you have expression in much joy. In much joy. Observe that both Jethro and Jesus, their joy was in what God did. Hallelujah. In what God has done. Not in material things, not because I got a new job, not because I just got married, not because I got a new car, not because I got a new apartment. My joy is in the Lord. My joy is in the Lord. So, some only have joy when they achieve a goal. No, our joy is in what God is doing. Amen. 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 I see a Muslim get saved, I rejoice. Hallelujah. For the one who will be saved, I rejoice. Amen. It's our response. It's our faith. It's our weapon. It's our weapon. Sometimes you confuse the enemy. Hallelujah. He said, I've got this one. No, he has fear. And the devil, that's the devil. He's telling his demons. He has fear now. He abandoned it. There's nothing. Even by yesterday, he don't say. His manager told him that they don't want you. But he told him that job that I went for interview, that they are not taking him. The demons are saying, And then they see the same person say, glory to God. You know what you have done? There's confusion in the camp. And wait, you didn't do your job. I did my job. You didn't do your job. I did my job. You didn't do your job. I did my job. They're not doing that. Then why are you rejoicing? Because it's on the winning. I've always told you, the shouting side is the winning. Yeah, look, if you sit, gymnastics, then you are not reading your Bible well. You can't be more comported and mature than Jesus. You want to protect you. So, right in front of his disciples, not the 12, 70, Jesus was leaping. You're the Lord now. He was leaping. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's uncontrolled though. He's not the ass. Hallelujah. Was leaping for joy. Amen. Sometimes it's just, it's a meat. Let me observe the way both Jethro and Jesus rejoiced. Observe the way they did it. When Jethro was rejoicing, the Bible says, and Jethro rejoiced and said, blessed is the Lord who delivered you from the Egyptian. That makes sense? He said, Exodus 18 now, he said, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit and said. So, in rejoicing, you must say something. Joy is not what you say, but in joy you will say something. Joy is what you do, but you see, while rejoicing, you must put God's word in your mouth. So, I'm not just saying, that's fine, because sometimes it's inexpressible. But as I'm doing that, I'm saying, yes, men are getting saved. Yes, I see it. Yes, I have peace. Are you getting what I'm saying? So, sometimes you feel worried, you feel bothered, your heart is clouded. Turn to the Lord. Let the Holy Ghost take over. Let him take over your feelings. You know what the feeling is? What are you doing with the feelings now? What are you doing with it? Let the Holy Ghost take over. Let him take care of your emotions. Then you turn to the Lord and you switch on the joy and put it on repeat. You make sense? When you put it on repeat, then you put God's word in your mouth. All things are working fine for me. All things are working for my good. It's always a win-win for me. My future is secured. I don't have fear. There's no change. Now, It's working. Hallelujah. There's nothing spiritual about standing. There's no spirit about sitting down. Only men full of the spirit do this right. Jesus said you will observe heaven. You observe heaven. You observe heaven. You observe heaven. You know it and you do it. You know it and you do it. The same way you lift your hands to pray. The same way you sing. It's the same way you rejoice. It's the same way. There's nothing special about it. There's nothing demonic. Which one is demonic? The man that is in darkness, that all the light in his room crying, looking at the candle, the man is jumping in touch. Which one is demonic? Which is the car? Oh, Martin. You are telling me which one is demonic. If it's demonic, I'm possessed. If this is what you call demonic, I want it. God put his joy in my life. I act on it by faith. You are telling me it's demonic. I will never be sad in my life. I will never be sad in my life. So we have uncampered joy, unrivaled joy, unmetered joy, unmatched joy. As we turn, we know and see these days are doing this. Hallelujah. Think for me as I close. So again, many can be healed while we rejoice. Because it's the same way you act by faith, the same way you pray by faith, the same way you sing by faith. Many can be healed when you're rejoicing. Let the Holy Ghost take over your emotions. Let him take over your faculties. In that same way, Jesus rejoiced and said, that's the same. But joy is not in your hands. When you're joyful, you don't need your hands. Have you ever been joyful for natural things? Yes, everybody has. Hallelujah. I remember when I lost my first years too. That joy was on me that. And I gathered everywhere in the house. How much more? When I see someone who everybody has seen to be helper, who the society has condemned and said this one, he can't be born again. And I still carry the Bible and it's going to last with me. Then I tell them, can you see? This side is the winning side. The donation money must have taught you that. This side is the winning side. This side is the winning side. I'm on the winning side. I'm on the winning side. All my life. I'm victorious. I'm seated in Christ, and I express my victory. Tell me, listen to me. You have your kingdom of darkness. You have lost. You have lost. The table has turned. This time is the winning side. The table has turned. There's no fear in my life. There's no shame in my life. There's no condemnation. Jesus is the one that died. He died for me. So there's no condemnation. There's no condemnation. The devil comes with remember your past. Remember it. No. Jesus won a God. Yay. So I stand tall on the promise of God. And I said, no shaking. No shaking. No shaking. No shaking. No shaking. Watch now. Everybody be scared. There'll be confusion. Of you. Let's pray alive. This is a joyful house. Thank you. We have a greater mantra. A greater mantra. The joy of the Lord is in this place. And so I make bold to say that never in my life will I be down. Never in my life will I give the devil a chance. No, I am on top. I go onward and forward. Onward and forward. There's no room for darkness here. Listen to me, someone here. Even when you think the bad addictions you have, this addiction to waste me down. Stay with God's joy. Trump provides with God's joy and put that on your mouth. Addictions are turning to spiritual growth. Put God's word in your mouth. Trump provides with God. I told you, it's not just our response, it's also our weapon. It's not just our response, it's our weapon. You must not only use to fight. See, when the worst of things happen, talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. Just call it to laughter. And see what will happen. And see what will happen. And see what the Lord will do. Amen. 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 Can we have some joy this morning? Can we have some joy this morning? Amen. God is working. God is working. Hey, oh yeah, put God's word in your mouth. This is your mouth that you are saying. This is
show the next one.